This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
We turn now to the Beatitudes and to Matthew chapter 5. But before we do, to be aware of where Jesus was coming from in this particular Beatitude this morning, we're going to go back to the Psalms. And I'm going to read for you, first of all, Psalm 37 and then Matthew chapter 5. So Psalm 37. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And then Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you know, for many years, I read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 as like a menu from which I could choose a blessing, depending on when I needed it. So if I needed the blessing of peacemaker, well, there it was. Or if I needed a blessing in the midst of mourning the death of a family member, well, there it was. Or if I feel like I've been wronged, I would focus on that blessing that talks about hungry, thirsty for righteousness, for things to be put right. For a long time, I really didn't realize that this is not a list of 8 different categories for us to choose from, to see if we can fit into God's kingdom. Well, I fit in there because I really need peacemaking. Or I fit in there because I'm in the middle of mourning and I need comfort. But rather, these are 8 statements of Jesus that describe the character of a disciple of Jesus. And according to Jesus, these characteristics in us create the perfect environment for us to live the blessed life. It's similar in our physical bodies needing some key things to stay healthy. You know, we need enough oxygen. We need enough exercise. We need to digest enough nutrients. We need to drink enough water. We need all of these things. These are key if we are going to be physically healthy. Jesus is describing here in the Beatitudes the key things to stay healthy in our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and even our relationship with ourselves. To be well in all these things, to be blessed in all these places. 2 weeks ago, we considered the first Beatitude, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Every true disciple recognizes and openly admits they are spiritually poor. The tank is near empty. And we need God in our life. This is the first mark of a true disciple. This is where it starts. And then last week we considered the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Every true disciple mourns over our sinful, fragile, broken world and our sinful, fragile, broken lives. And this week we look at the third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek sounds like weak. And that's normally what you think of whenever you try to describe meek. The English dictionary says a meek person is someone who is soft, quiet, gentle, easily imposed upon. Does that sound like Jesus to you, who described himself as meek? That's not the Jesus I know. That is not the Jesus I follow. With this dictionary understanding of meekness, it's no wonder that it's not sought after in our culture. It's not admired. Our culture celebrates the strong, the bold, the assertive. We assume that it's those who are aggressive, who push, get what they want. In our culture, the beatitude is, blessed are the aggressors, for they will get their peace of land. Those who heard Jesus speak the third beatitude on the mountain in Galilee, as Jesus described inheriting the earth, they were not thinking about being soft and gentle. These Galilean men were not thinking about that at all. The disciples were surrounded by a power of the Roman Empire at a time when Rome and the Jewish zealots were fighting against each other to gain political or military control over the land. Jesus' disciples assumed Jesus was offering them this land from some way that they can conquer. Many thought at the time of Jesus that the land of Judea rightly belonged to the descendants of Israel, and they were willing to fight for it. And even just in recent history of humanity, in our modern history, it provides evidence that this is how we choose to live with one another. Things have not changed much. Do you know, since 1914, on at least 200 separate occasions, countries throughout the world have redrawn their borders as a result of war and conflict. Over 200 times. And still we do not have peace. And still we play out our disagreements, hurts, retaliation. And we live by this false beatitude, blessed are the aggressors, for they will get their piece of land. This is a lie. It is a false beatitude. And we fail to live by Jesus' beatitude. Jesus says there's a better way. And see, this better way, this way of meekness, it brings a blessing. We must understand what Jesus meant when he said this. It is so important in our relationships. Our English word meek actually originates from the Greek word praus. Praus, literally translated, is strength under control. In ancient Greece, war horses were trained to be praus. Meek, strong and powerful, yet under control. Every member of the cavalry aspired to having a horse that was praus. So when you went into battle, you went in confidently and you could guarantee success with that horse. The Greek philosopher Aristotle said in the 5th century that the praus person, the meek person, is the one who has the virtue of living and being halfway between two extremes. Aristotle said, if recklessness were on one end and cowardice on the other, in the middle would be praus, characterized by strong, steady courage. For example, a meek person doesn't shy away from taking a stand for what is right. Rather, the stand is taken by the meek man or the meek woman at the right time with the right people in the right way. This is strength and power under control, meekness, prowess. But under whose control? Originally in ancient Greece, it was a war horse under the control of their trainer, their rider. And they submitted to their authority and they would obey their commands. In the Beatitudes, Jesus describes prowess, meekness as strength under God's control. Submitting to God's authority, obeying God's commands. These things form meekness in us and enable us to live that out in our relationships and to find blessing there. Meek people are above all else servants of God. And we see this in Jesus. Jesus had a servant heart. He knew his limitations and he knew his weaknesses. Jesus knew his limitations. He could take himself off for rest and to pray often in the Gospels. We say it describes that. It describes him feeling tired. It describes him sleeping on one of the disciples' fishing boats. It describes him on one occasion, knowing his limitations, he was on his knees in a garden, weeping because he did not know if he had the strength to face crucifixion. But Jesus also knew his strength. When asked if he was the Messiah, he replied, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense from me." Jesus had neither an inflated self-image nor an inferiority complex. He had a strong servant heart for God, and he was meek. During his trial, again, he demonstrated this. Do you know, before the high priest, he spoke up firmly in a controlled manner after being hit across the face. These were his words. "If what I said was wrong, explain what is wrong. But what if what I said is right, why did you strike me?" Do you know what their answer was? Silence. And they led him off to Pilate for a trial for execution. With meekness, Jesus spoke up against miscarriage of justice, against his name and God's name. He didn't invest any time or effort into petty remarks or arrogantly humiliating them with his wisdom and his knowledge, putting them in their place. He didn't respond with aggression or losing his rag. Jesus spoke up for what was right and just. And if we are true disciples of Jesus, then we should be compelled to speak up and act against any injustice, to name wrongs, as difficult as that may be sometimes, and seek what is right at the right time in the right way, submitting to God throughout in prayer, for his wisdom and for his courage and maybe even for his patience, waiting for that right time and to know what the right words are and the right thing to do. Jesus teaches further, actually, in Matthew chapter 5 about meekness. These were his words. "Do not resist someone who is evil. If someone strikes you in the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek." In Jesus' day, turning the other cheek to be slapped did not mean you lost your dignity. When somebody slapped you on the right cheek, they used the back of their hand because they thought you were the inferior. But when you turned your face so they could slap you on the left cheek, they needed to use the inside of their palm. And that was a sign in Middle Eastern culture that you were their equal. What Jesus is teaching here and emphasizing here is that we are all equal. So we should give each other all dignity. To not set out to humiliate each other or seek revenge against each other, but to treat each other as equals. God lovingly created every human being equal in his image, male and female. It is us, though, who have created inequality and hostility between one another, because it is our greed, not God's greed. It is our selfishness, not God's. It's our pride, our deceit. Do you see how much we need to follow Jesus in this? To be his disciples, to learn from him. Because we are not living right. One example of this was through the leadership of the Baptist minister, Dr. Martin Luther King. When he spoke out against injustices, against oppressed people. In the movie Selma, it tells a story of the events of the civil rights movements in 1965. In one particular scene, King's colleague, Andrew Young, explains to someone who wants to react violently against their oppressors that the people would not have stood a chance on that bridge had they resorted to guns and violence against the unjust authorities at Selma. More would have been killed. More would have been brutalized. Their non-violent resistance was strength under control. Their greatest weapon was meekness. Against an overwhelming, unjust force, their strategy was grounded in meekness, which was the outworking of Jesus' command to love one another. King, a disciple of Jesus, believed that such love would bring reconciliation between individuals. But he also said it was critical to social transformation on a massive scale. And he was right. As American society watched on national news the injustice of that civil rights movement and what they endured at Selma with meekness, and the strength of their capacity to suffer for justice and righteousness, it undermined those enforcing segregation and inequality. Within months, President Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act in 1965. Yes, maybe under duress and under pressure, but it was right, and it came about through an act of meekness. Perhaps many who witnessed this felt they had inherited the earth. Such an achievement, such a moment in their history, such a moment in our history. And Jesus used these words, inherit the earth, in his third beatitude. They came, as I read earlier, from Psalm 37, where it says, those who are meek will inherit the earth. It doesn't say they will conquer the earth or they will earn it, but rather they will inherit it. The earth, you see, is the Lord's and everything in it. It is for him to give to who he pleases. If we are God's children, then we are heirs and we receive what he has promised. And Jesus promises, blessed are the meek who will inherit the earth. I don't know about you, but my question is, what is this inheritance? Because let's think about it. Let's think about the facts for a moment. The earth is 3.5 million times larger than me. Am I seriously going to inherit all of that? Do I want all of that and the weight of it? The most powerful ruler in history was arguably Genghis Khan, but his empire only spanned 6% of the earth. Even he only managed that. And there are over 2 billion Christians on earth in 2020. Are they all going to inherit it? What does Jesus mean? Well, here's what I think Jesus meant, and what was witnessed in Selma, Alabama in 1965, and happens every time a disciple of Jesus chooses to respond in meekness, is that we receive from God more abundantly and extravagantly than we could ever imagine or gain for ourselves. Even if we had all the money, a huge army, and plenty of followers, we still couldn't achieve it. Think for a moment where they were. They were on top of a mountain. Now, during Easter, we climbed Slieve Donard, and it was so disappointing because we got to the top, and it was cloudy and miserable, and it was the first time Isabella and Noah got there, and it was like nothing. You could see nothing. And we were trying to say, honestly, you're very high. It is very high where you are right now. Now, I'm assuming when Jesus was sitting up the mountain, it was a beautiful sunny day, and they could see for miles. Miles. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the meek, because you see all that and more. Can you take it in? And I'm thinking, no, I can't even begin to take it in. My eyes aren't that panoramic. He says, well, that's what you get. It's impossible for us to fully embrace and imagine and capture what God has for us when we follow him with meekness. It is the prayer that Paul prayed for God's people in the city of Ephesus. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can think of or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. When we submit to God's ways, when we welcome his power at work in us, when we recognize his authority, when we faithfully obey his commands, live with that servant heart, live under his control, when we are meek, you will inherit the earth. What is it you need to inherit right now? What is it you want that you think is beyond imagining? What peace do you need? What hope do you need for you, for your family, for maybe work situation? What is on your heart where you need to inherit the earth? And in that, how much more meekness do you need in that situation, in this moment? On this side of eternity today, for each of us, inheriting the earth may look like restored relationships. Men and women freed from addiction, safe from violence in their home or their community. Freedom, equality, justice for the marginalized, the discounted, the oppressed. It looks like debt cancelled. It looks like people coming out of poverty. Meekness and inheriting the earth. For Rose and Florence, who Barbara spoke about earlier, as our equal, not as less than us. You may think this is beyond possible, but not with God. Jesus said these words, hold to them. Let them form in you that meekness we see in Jesus, and we've seen in others who have followed him, and we can see in each other. If we too follow Jesus. Let's take a moment now and let's pray. Father God, we bring to you now in the silence those situations, those conversations, those relationships where we need more meekness, strength under control. May our words be filled with meekness. May our attitude be filled with meekness. May our motives be filled with meekness. May our thinking and strategizing and rationalizing be filled with meekness. May every part of our being be filled with meekness, God. Fill us now. And may each of us see the blessing of that, as in whatever way we inherit the earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we bring to you our prayers for others. In your word you say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Father, we begin with India, where a second wave of coronavirus is having a devastating impact. Father, the figures are stark. 350,000 new cases confirmed in a single day last week, and more than 195,000 deaths. Father, behind each statistic of death, a person and a grieving family, behind each statistic of sickness, a further demand on an already overstretched health system. Father, comfort the bereaved through your Holy Spirit and grant healing to the sick. Father, we pray for healthcare workers there who risk their lives each day to care for the sick. Keep them safe. Give them the supplies, medicines, and equipment they need to give vital treatment. Lord, in such a vast and populous country, be with those who are involved in the logistical exercise of matching demands to resources, and give them wisdom. Thank you for the global response to the crisis and for consignments of generators and oxygen sent from Northern Ireland. Father, we pray for Christian Aid and their partners on the ground in Indonesia. We pray too for the worldwide reach of Christian Aid. Father, the focus is on communities globally facing the effects of climate change, and Christian Aid Week will seek to raise funds to that end. Projects like the Dam Project in Kenya, which has enabled Florence to thrive. And let us be generous in our giving this week. Father, we pray too for Mexico, where the collapse of an elevated section of a railway led to the deaths of 24 people. We pray your blessing on those who mourn and those who have been injured. At home, Lord, thank you for the reopening of the economy and that our children are back at school. Lord, guide our politicians as they steer the country through the crisis. And Lord, the political parties too, as they make changes to their leadership and to the representatives. Father, we pray for the police investigation into the ill treatment and neglect of patients in the psychiatric intensive care unit in Muckamore Abbey Hospital. We ask, as a result, the facility will be a safer place for those vulnerable people, many with complex needs. Father, you've given us the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To that end, we ask you to inspire others to serve you abroad, and enable us to be your witnesses at home. Help us with gentleness to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. Father, when the problems facing your world appear insurmountable, and when we have difficulties in our personal lives which we are struggling to resolve, we turn to you. For you have said, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take this blessing now from Peter. In one of his letters, 1 Peter chapter 3, he wrote this: "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And may the blessing of God Almighty be upon each one of you now and always. Amen."
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.